Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. In January of 2016, the BBC experienced one of the largest and highest profile distributed denials of service, or DDoS attacks, to date. New World Hacking, the group behind the attack, promised that it would be just the beginning. DDoS attacks have since prevented access to websites for political campaigns, banks, and other financial websites, including MasterCard, Visa, and PayPal. Google Ideas and Arbor Networks have found that more than 2,000 of these attacks occur daily. For more on what DDoS means and why denial of service has become the most publicized tool for digital sabotage, well, we're turning to Rob Fleischman, principal engineer at Akamai Technologies, the group which restored service to the BBC in that 2016 attack, and our go-to tech guy. Rob, welcome.
Great to be here, Virginia.
Nice to see you. So from a user perspective, what would happen if I go to a website and there's been a DDoS attack?
Well, you'll probably have either no access to that site or really slow, terrible access to that site. You know, a broken web page where images don't load, or maybe the site just doesn't appear up at all.
So no, like, 404 message or anything like that?
No, generally you'll get nothing. Maybe your browser will time out or you'll get some other generic error message, yeah.
Yep. So did New World Hacking actually claim credit for the denial of service attack against the BBC?
Well, you know, I can't get too close to the specifics of that issue. As you know, Akamai was the company I work for was greatly involved in mitigating that. But, you know, I can tell you a little bit about how these things work so people can sort of understand what we're talking about here. So there's a lot of criminal activity on the internet, right? In recent news, we've heard a lot about hacking. Mm-hmm. And let me give you an analogy. Let's say that we pick our favorite fast food restaurant, it's owned by Virginia Prescott, Virginia's Burgers, let's call it. So, you know, if I'm a hacker, what I want to do is I want to break into Virginia's Burgers, maybe steal some of her money, maybe steal her recipes, maybe take some of her equipment. That's more like a hacking attack, right? Mm-hmm. Breaking into your facility.
Or credit card numbers of
exactly.
My customers.
You got it. I'm trying to break into your facility, take something of yours. A denial of service attack or a distributed denial of service attack is a little different. So if I do a DDoS attack on your Virginia's Burger company, what I'll do is I'll fill your parking lot full of cars. I'll fill your drive-through with thousands and thousands of cars. So that way, when legitimate customers come up to your business, they go, wow, there's no place to park. The line for the drive-through is 100 miles long. I can't get service. I can't do anything. So I'm either going to go somewhere else or just throw my hands up and be waiting for days and days and days to get service.
So a DDoS attack would be like sending a bunch of requests to download a website, so many that it just sort of overflows.
Exactly. That's exactly the analogy. And you're exactly right. There are four different flavors of DDoS attacks. You know, this connection attacks, like what you were talking about, where you have a lot of people trying to get to your website, you know, malicious people trying to download and consume your resources. You have volume attacks, where people send a lot of traffic at you. There's fragmentation attacks where they send weird traffic patterns that cause your website or your servers to do lots of work. And then there's application level things. For example, I'll give you the analogy with Virginia's Burgers. Let's say I make a whole bunch of orders that are very complicated. Virginia, here's 10,000 hamburger orders, all complicated. One without lettuce, one without mayo, one without ketchup, whatever. So that you have to do a lot of work preparing these orders. But then there's no one to actually pay at the register. Mm-hmm. So I make the order and then I leave. So now your resource has been consumed. So there are different styles of attacks, but they all have the same goal, and that is to take down your offering.
And how long does it work for? I mean, like with the BBC, how long did it take you to turn that around?
Some of these things, you know, attacks sometimes go on for days and days. You know, it really depends on who you're attacking and what kind of infrastructure they have. And let me give you an example. So today, if you want to do a distributed denial of service attack, let's say you're someone who's not so nice, you can go off and you can rent lots of servers. So, you know, maybe about $150 a day to rent a bunch of compromised machines, people's home PCs or internet cameras or other types of equipment that has been infected with viruses and malware. So I can go out and I can pay $150 to someone, usually a nefarious person, who will then rent me the use of their network of bad machines. So I can use those bad machines to direct traffic at someone I want to attack.
Hmm.
On the reverse side of that, even at the low end, to defend against denial of service attacks. There are companies that do it for, you know, $1,000 a month or so. So just buying the insurance policy and the protection against denial of service attacks is not free. You know, $1,000 a month, even for very, very low attack mitigation, is pretty expensive. Now, if you're a large company, you know, a financial services organization, you know, you're going to want to pay much more money for much more sophisticated defenses. That's really where my company comes in. We protect people like the Fortune 500, the Fortune 1000, you know, very, very high profile.
Right. So people who are making a lot of money online, tons of transactions.
Exactly. So, like anything, there's a hierarchy of attackers and there's a hierarchy of defenders. Mm-hmm. But again, the people who really suffer are the small sites. You know, if you have a small company and you have a small website and you get a denial of service attack on you, you know, you're going to have to come out of your wallet for that. And that's really sad.
Okay. So as always, you've opened up a bunch of different stuff. One is, I want to go back to that sort of sure. like you can hire these servers.
Sure.
So there are people who will go do contract like hits, lack of a better word.
You got it. And the motivation is really, I see, you know, three or four motivations. Of course, one is ransom. You know, hey, Virginia, I'm going to take your website down, or it is down, and until you pay me. The second one is political. You know, maybe you
right, I don't, the Trump campaign got
absolutely.
The details.
I don't like whatever you're saying or whatever you're selling or the part of the world you're from or who your owners are or for whatever reason. So I have a political difference with you. The next one is revenge. Perhaps you've done something bad to me and I want to take down your site or company. I'm an
I'll
ex-employee.
Never do that,
something
Rob.
Like that. There's also interesting things like gamers do this a bit. For example, you know, I want an advantage in a particular game or a particular gambling site or something like that. So I'll attack certain parts of the network that my opponents are using. And therefore, my part of the network runs quickly and theirs runs slowly. And then finally, there's, you know, I hate to use this term because it's so loaded, but cyber warfare. You know, the idea of countries attacking other countries. And DDoS attacks are also sometimes a part of larger cyber warfare. For example, let's say I'm trying to hack into your a part of your network. I might launch a DDoS attack on another part of your network to put your security resources over there. So that way I go unnoticed in other parts. Or I use the huge volume of a DDoS attack to hide the hacking that I'm doing.
We're talking about denial of service or DDoS attacks with Rob Fleischman. He's explaining how, in some cases, why they happen, where websites will be shut down by an overload of requests and basically become rendered dysfunctional. Well, okay, so what is the difference, though, you know, in this DDoS strike and hacking, you know, like embarrassing internal Democratic emails, right? Posted on WikiLeaks, hacks for which, by the way, the U.S. government has formally accused Russia of doing.
Well, I think the big difference, again, is what you're after. So a denial of service attack, whether it's distributed or just a regular denial of service attack, are about making it so your attack, the victim of your attack, can't service anyone.
Right. You're overloaded.
They're overloaded. They can't service good customers, bad customers. They can't do anything. No, they might as well not be online.
Mm-hmm.
A hacking attack is really about breaking an entry. I want to go into a site. I want to get information from them for whatever particular reason, extract it, and do what I want with
it. Right. They get my secret sauce burger recipe.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, but how about protecting against them? Because, you know, I do want to mention a spokesman for Vladimir Putin says this is absolute nonsense. You know, Vladimir Putin's website gets attacked several tens of thousands of times a day, right? But that's the question. This big hack happened against the BBC in January. Have people like you, you know, like Akamai and your kind of security companies gotten mm-hmm. ahead of it? Are they just still ahead of us, or are there ways that you can protect yourself against it?
Okay, so it really depends on who you are. You know, if you are MasterCard and Visa or companies like that, Fortune 500 companies, there's a lot of resources available for you. These resources are not free. This is expensive stuff. This is resource intensive stuff. This is state-of-the-art technology. And that stuff is available, absolutely. As you go down the tree and you're a smaller and smaller company, there's still stuff available at lower prices, but it's not nearly as good. You know, are you going to be able, as Virginia's Burger Shop, to defend against a denial of service attack from the Chinese government? Unlikely. Unlikely you will. And neither will the provider who provides the infrastructure for your website be able to. So that's the unfortunate thing. The folks who are small, who are attacked by those who are large, that's going to be a problem.
Is there a reason that these are more commonplace today, you know, maybe, or we're hearing about them now? Is it easy to do?
The reason why it's more commonplace is a product of the number of things that are connected to the internet, right? So 10 years ago, there weren't nearly as many devices online, right? Not everyone had high-speed internet. So now that everyone has high-speed internet, you combine that with a lot of people are not very technology savvy. I spoke previously about why your internet is slow. A lot of people have devices that are old or unpatched or not up to date, or maybe they can't afford to buy newer devices, right? So those devices are frequently hackable, are frequently infected with malware, are frequently under the control of someone else, and you don't even know that. So there's a lot of real estate out there for bad guys to take over. And once they take over and control that real estate, then they can use that as part of a denial of service attack. The word that folks use is they call it botnets or botnet armies. The idea that I control as a bad person, hundreds or thousands of machines or devices that are not mine, that are on the internet, that I have surreptitiously made, surreptitiously control, and allow them to do attacks on my behalf. And that's really why these types of attacks have gotten popular. Those networks of botnets, those networks of infected machines are much easier to build and therefore easier to sell access to.
All right. So do you think that this is always going to be a kind of tactic that's used online?
I think so. I think it's part of the standard toolkit for malware now. I think it'll ebb and flow. I think as devices get older and get replaced and security technology gets better, these things will be harder and harder. But, you know, it's an arms race, right? I mean, this is what's really hot right now. In a few years, there'll be something else, and this won't be as popular. But I think it'll always be part of the toolkit for malware and attacks.
Rob Fleischman, he is principal engineer at Akamai Technologies and our resident tech explainer here with the download on DDoS attacks. Rob, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Always great to be here, Virginia. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.